Good morning. My name is Jennifer Steele, and I'm super excited to be with you this morning as Ford and many of the men are at the beach retreating on this fourth Sunday in Lent. So before we get into looking at these passages from our lectionary, I want to ask the kids a question. What is a rhythm? The dictionary says it is a strong, regular, repeated pattern of movement or sound. So what are some rhythms that you see around you? Drums, music. How about in the calendar? Days, weeks, hours, yes. In nature, seasons, the sunrise, sunset, the ocean, our own breathing is a rhythm. Rhythms are all around us everywhere. Now we are in a rhythm, a season of what? Part of the church yearly rhythm? Yes, Lent. So does anybody remember what Lent is about? Forgiveness? Yes. Repentance? Yes. What does that mean? To be sorry, that is part of it. But in the Bible, to repent means to change your mind and turn around. So, for example, if your sibling was getting ready to step off the curb and out into the street and a car was coming, you could yell at them, repent, which wouldn't mean feel sorry about stepping off the curb, but change your mind, turn around. So today we are going to talk about both of these ideas of rhythms and repentance and what they have to do with each other. So let's start by looking at our Old Testament scripture out of Numbers. So this is such an interesting and crazy passage. Right before this place in Numbers, in the beginning of chapter 21, we read about how God helped Israel defeat a frightening army. Verse 2 says, then Israel made a vow to the Lord, if you will deliver this people into our hands, we will completely destroy their cities. The Lord listened to Israel's request. The Canaanites were defeated, and Israel completely destroyed them and their cities. God helped Israel beat the Canaanites. And he helped them just as he had many times throughout their journey in the wilderness. Now, all the same, the Israelites at this point have been on this journey for a long time, coming up on 40 years. So 40 years of up and down and God saving them and then them being in trouble again, emotional highs and lows, 40 years of following the Lord and waiting for him to take them into the promised land. When was the last time you prayed and waited for something for 40 years? So the verse in 4, it goes on to say, but the people became impatient because of their journey. And verse 5 says, they became impatient and then they spoke against God and Moses. They grumbled. And then came fiery snakes. To me, it's super interesting that the Israelites weren't like, wow, what a coincidence. I wonder why these fiery snakes are here. They saw a direct correlation between their impatience and grumbling against God and the arrival of the fiery snakes. Verse 7 says, we have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Intercede with the Lord so that he will take the snakes away from us. They knew the snakes were a consequence of their actions. Now, as a caveat, I am by no means saying that every difficult thing that happens to us, to me, to you, is a direct result of our personal sin, my sin, your sin. But in the big picture, truly, most difficult things that happen in our world are a result of sin. Our ancestors, people before us, mine, yours. Sin, ours, other people's, affects everyone for generations. So back to the passage. God listens to the Israelites' prayer, but he doesn't solve their problems in the way they're hoping. They asked him, they would like him to just take away the snakes. And at times before, he had answered their prayer in this way. Just at the beginning of the chapter, he totally removed the enemy. The enemy was gone. The problem was gone. But here in this case, he does not remove their problem. He doesn't rescue them from the snakes. Instead, he provides healing and a way through. And what a crazy way for God to provide the way through this hardship for Israel. Verse 8 says, God had Moses make a bronze snake and mount it on a pole. And all those who were bitten by a snake would look at the bronze snake and recover. This is so curious. What is God up to? An interesting thing here is that the snake was made of bronze. Commentators on the Old Testament talk about how bronze was a metal that had been refined by fire, and so it had been purified. So what does it mean that God had Moses make a snake out of bronze? The snakes, the very thing that were evil, that were causing harm, God used. He refined. He purified and redeemed to use for their salvation. When they were bitten and in danger, if they looked to the bronze snake, they would live. So now it seems less random. Our New Testament reading that Jesus, in the middle of a conversation with Nicodemus, a Pharisee and religious leader, would bring up this obscure passage from Numbers. So what Jesus says in John 3:14 is, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who looks to him, believes in him, will have eternal life. When Jesus died, the disciples despaired. They thought all was lost. But God took that thing that Satan meant for evil, Jesus' death on a cross, and he used it to save us. Jesus died and went through the fire of hell so that we might look to him and live. This is what Lent is all about. The regular, repeated pattern, the rhythm of repentance. I see repentance as a rhythm in two ways. One, we follow this pattern like Israel, like the one in today's Psalm 107. They give thanks. Then they slowly forgot. They suffered because of their rebellious ways and sins. Then they cried out to the Lord, and he saved them. They gave thanks. And it continues over and over. How many times, even a day, does this happen to me? I'm thankful, eyes on Jesus. Then I slowly get distracted, start worrying, forgetting. The anxiety and the irritability grows to cause suffering. Then I'm taking control, making shortcuts, and problems and trouble arise. And when I'm lucky, I'm convicted. I cry out to the Lord. He forgives me, and I am thankful once more. This life, this journey can be discouraging. It can feel long. As long as we are still breathing, we are like Israel, wandering on the wilderness side of the Jordan River. Only in heaven will this rhythm of repentance end for good. Life is a journey, and death is the arrival. The second way I see repentance as a rhythm is it has three movements that we use each time we repent. Three parts that we've seen throughout these passages. We reflect, we release, we remember. We reflect, we look to God, we hold up our situation, our struggle, our sin, our problem of snakes. We hold it up high. To the Lord, and we look at it and we look to God while we look at our sin. We confess, we acknowledge our sin, and we give it to Him. We give our problem to Him at the same time that we look to Him. Then we release. We release it to Him. We let go of our efforts to save ourselves. We cease striving. We are still. We realize that we can't do it. We cannot save ourselves. So we release ourselves into God's care, into His forgiveness. And then we remember. We remember our Father loves us. We remember how He has provided for us. We remember who He is. We remember that we went through the Red Sea. He brought us. We remember that He gave us manna in the desert. We remember the light by day and the flame by night. We remember who God is. And we remember who we are, His beloved. Our Ephesians passage this morning reminds us of this. From Ephesians 3, you were dead in your sins. We all were. But God, the best two words of the Bible, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead. You are saved by grace. This grace is what helps us lean into this rhythm of repentance. We can acknowledge that we don't have it all together. We don't have to hide or cover up, or even be embarrassed by our mistakes. We know it's a rhythm, a repeating pattern that will happen over and over again. And this grace is what allows us to repent, to change direction. Repentance is not just, I'm sorry. Repentance is turning around. And to fully turn around, we have to reflect, release, and remember. If we don't do these three things, we'll just kind of feel bad that we did something. And then we'll just keep wandering around, not turning back to God. This rhythm of repentance keeps us looking to God, dependent on Jesus. And this is the goal. This is the goal for this whole life. It's not to be independent, to get it all figured out, to arrive, to become a perfect person, but to be like a child, humble and dependent on our Father. Since we are Anglicans, our worship is embodied, meaning what we do with our body helps us remember the state of our heart. So today, to help us remember these three movements of repentance, I have some movements for our bodies. So I invite you, if you are feeling bold and comfortable, to stand to do this rhythm of repentance with me. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we hold up our arms high to You. We reflect and we think about these struggles. We hold them up to You as we look to You. We hold up our fear, our envy, our impatience. The list goes on. We think about these things and our desire to control and manage and take shortcuts. We hold these things, these sins, these snakes up to You. And we look at them and we look, Jesus, to You, to Your death on the cross. And then we release. We just bow down and we release. We throw these things to the ground. We throw these sins. We throw all our efforts to save ourselves. We bow down and we humble ourselves. We become like children and we depend on You for forgiveness, for salvation. And then we remember. We hold our hands to our hearts in prayer and we pause. We remember Your great love and Your mercy, that it is Your kindness that allows us to do this rhythm of reflect, release, remember, that it is Your goodness that brings us back to center. We remember that You are with us we remember that we can't do this ourselves. We remember our need for you. Amen. Thanks. You can be seated. Reflect, release, remember. This is what we are called to, not only in this season of Lent, but every day, every moment. And there is incredible freedom in this rhythm. Imagine a world where you no longer have to look like you have it all together. You no longer have to prove yourself. You no longer have to feel defensive or shame about your mistakes. It's okay to be humble, where it's safe to admit that you did something wrong. Imagine a world where there is grace. This is what God provided Israel with the bronze snake, and what Jesus, with his death on the cross, provided us. The way to freedom is to turn around, repent, and look up to Jesus held high, lifted up for us. Amen.